Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is your host, Cedric Shabazz, live from Revolutionary Soul Talk Radio, also known as God Better Radio. It is Saturday morning. It's February 21st, year 2015. And this is just the second show of the new year for God Brothers Radio. And it happens to be Brother Malcolm X, Malcolm Little, Malcolm X, L. Haj Malik El Shabazz. This was the day he was assassinated on February 21st, 1965. On February 1st, 1965, Brother Malcolm X was assassinated at the Auburn Ballroom in New York. What a heavy show. The title for the show is called Life for African Americans with Islamic or African Names After 9/11. And, you know, this is a very, very personal show for me. And this is the first time I've ever publicly ever was willing to speak about my last name, Shabazz, and the origin of it and my personal affiliation with it over the last 30 years. And I'm making it a clear statement. I don't feel like I need to explain to anybody why I do have the last name Shabazz, but all this talk about terrorists, and I just think it was probably timely. It was timely to talk about the perceptions and the stereotypes of the religion Islam and of Muslims. And I wasn't too sure I really wanted to do this show, because talking about this particular topic, like I said, is very, very personal for me. But not only that, it's one of those things that people don't want to talk about. And I just felt compelled to talk about it. You know, I'm going to do this show. I'm going to talk about it. And then I'm not going to talk about it no more for the rest of my life. I wrote something the other day, compelled to write it. I don't know why, you know, I wrote it in a sense, but it was quite liberating. And, you know, at the same time, so I'm going to read it to you. let me see here. It's also called, the title is also called African Americans Living with Islamic or African Names After September 11th, 2001. And it goes something like this. Let me see. With all the talk of Islamic terrorists going on lately, it dawned on me that not much attention has ever been focused on us African Americans who are Muslims or who have African and Arabian names. Now, as we all know the history of our plight in America, we African Americans often try to sever or stay in denial or never want to talk about our forefather, Kuting Kinte, who was Muslim. And if anybody seen the movie Roots or read the book, Alex Haley found out that his forefather, Kuti Kinte, was from West Africa, and he was a Muslim. And he was a Muslim. And 5% of African-American slaves from West Africa were naturally Muslims, ever having been influenced by our Arabian brothers. And if you remember in the movie Roots, Kuti Kinte kept saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and so surely that was his God, and surely he was a Muslim. There's nobody who has disputed that, but I think that people have overlooked the fact that he was a Muslim, and especially in the African American community, in the Christian community, the African Hebrew community, and even in the Islamic community. Nobody talks about Kuti Kinte was a Muslim. And that disturbed me, because it's like with shame, it's like us African Americans are ashamed to admit that we as a people have an origin in Islam. We're from Islam, a percentage of us. So I don't understand what's the shame. But anyways, that's just my perception, and let me continue to read what I wrote. And I say again, and 5% of us African American slaves from West Africa, where we are naturally Muslims, like I said, yes, North Africa, Nigeria, Somalia, and many countries in Africa, Ethiopia, in East Africa, are Muslim countries, and we all know that. And North African countries like Libya, Egypt, Morocco, Sudan, and several more are ruled and invaded by our Arabian brothers a long time ago, and it still is to this day. I mean, that is just, nobody disputes that. And I ever wonder how many of us Americans or African Americans or anybody in general ever heard, read, or studied our ancestors, the Moors. Themoors. I didn't think so. Now, while having black skin is still universally looked at as the lowest class of a human in all civilization, African Americans who have knowledge of self, like myself, or have Islamic or African names, like myself, are treated with suspect by our own country. And yes, I must say, sometimes our immediate family, who do not share the same religious point of views or our names. After 9/11, I had to, I was used to living being an African American man, but now I had to live not only being an African American man in the United States of America, I'm also have to live with the dual identity of people's perceptions and some people's ignorance and stereotype of being a terrorist suspect because of my royal last name, Shabazz, Shabazz. Now, some of us were born with the names, but most of us adopted it, like I adopted it, because I found out who God wants me to be. And on a personal note, there are many of us African Americans who, with broken and heavy hearts, who are Muslims and non-Muslims, who get treated with either ultimate respect from our African American community, such as the African American community, regardless of their point of view, have always respected and never disrespected Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad's son, Warden Muhammad, or our brother, Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, regardless of what the African Americans' point of view on our Islamic African American community, they have never disrespected the Islamic community. And so that's kudos for the African American community. Everybody in the African American community knows that you don't mess with them brothers and sisters. You just leave them alone, or you're going to have problems. That's just the way it is. And either way, us African Americans, when it's all said and done, regardless of our religions, regardless if we're Christians, profess to be the original Hebrews, or we have we profess to be the original man, Islam, or atheists, or agnostic, or Democrat, independent, or liberal, all we have, you get right down to it, all we have is our God and ourselves in these last days on this earth. Regardless if you're a believer or not, we are in the last days. And I mean, I think nobody could dispute that. But besides that point, ask yourself, brothers and sisters of African American descent like myself, are you ashamed of your black skin, your nappy hair, your nose, your butt, or your braids? Look in the mirror. Are you ashamed of our forefather, Kute Kinte? I am not. I will die with my royal name my God gave me. And for your information, even though it's none of anybody's personal business, and we all have the freedom as being Americans to worship our God or not, my Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm kind of going to go back a little and kind of talk about how I'm going to get a little personal here. I've been living with my last name, Shabazz, since the January 2nd, 1992, on my 25th birthday. And I decided I was a new man with a new name. And I was convinced that God had revealed my true identity, purpose, and life calling. And I remember I was 9 years old when I first got introduced to Islam, not knowingly. There was this African-American family in the neighborhood who dressed and carried themselves differently from the rest of us African-Americans. And my friend, his name was Jamal, and he wore a bow tie and a suit every time he went to school. And he went to a private Muslim school called Sister Clara Muhammad. And I remember we used to play together on weekends, but I was never allowed in his house until one day his older brother asked if I wanted ice cream with Jamal. Now, the first thing I noticed was his mother and sisters all had beautiful headscarves, and they addressed each other as sister. And I noticed his father, Jeremiah Shabazz, not the famous boxer Muhammad Ali's godbrother, and his manager and his mentor, Jeremiah Shabazz. This is a different Jeremiah Shabazz. But his father was clean cut, and everybody wore different classy conservative suits with pointy shoes. They were Stacy Adams, different colors. Sometimes he would wear like the Stacy Adams that were black and white, or he had burgundy biscuit Stacy Adams, or he had the black biscuit Stacy Adams, or he just had solid black Stacy Adams, or he had burgundy Stacy Adams, or he had gray Stacy Adams. His father, I remember, he always smiled at me, but he never spoke to me. But he always had no less than three men around him like they were his bodyguards. And they always addressed each other as brother this and brother that. And after they got used to me coming around, they felt comfortable enough for me to run around and be in their house. And I noticed there was never no music or TV ever playing. And the house was always quiet. And if you tried to listen to their conversations, you basically just could not, because they spoke low and kind of like whisper like, you know. And if you did make noise, his father would just look at us once, and we would shut up automatically. Me and Jamal just shut up automatically. And at 9 years old, I admit I was impressed. And you know, for some reason, as I look back, I've always had a friend or somebody. I always went to a house, and that was always an Islamic house. Always had that one friend that was a Muslim, and I could never figure out. I mean, I when you're a kid, you just look at people as people. You don't. They're just your friend. It doesn't matter if they're white, black, you know, brown, yellow, or whatever. You're just a kid. But at 9 or 10 years old, I did notice back then the difference between households. And it was an interesting scenario, because I grew up in a household where my mother was raised up traditionally a Southern conservative Baptist. And she incorporated her ancestry, our ancestry, which is Cherokee, our Cherokee ancestry on her side of the family, out of the state of Oklahoma, in the city of Oklahoma City, of the Newby family, N-E-W-B-Y. She incorporated her beliefs of how she was raised, with believing in the one spirit, spirituality, her Native American heritage. She was a more spiritual person than, let's say, a Bible carrier. So she was really into the spirit. So I grew up with a very spiritual mother that felt the wind, felt the moon, felt the stars. And there was times when my mom would walk around the house and she'd be in her own world, you know, but you just knew that she was with her God. So let's just put it that way. She was dancing with the wolves, just put it that way. And so we had a very spiritual household as far as me and my two brothers growing up on that level. Did we grow up with the Bible on our table, reading the Bible every day? No, we didn't. But God, it was in our house, and God has never left our house. And to my knowledge, regardless if we're Baptists, Muslims, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or Methodists, or whatever, whatever, our family line and ancestry is one with God. So we're godly people. Personal years as a young African man growing up, I've always had an Islamic influence around me, and I didn't even know it. So between the ages of 9 and 14, as I look back, I have always had Muslim friends. And majority of the Muslim friends were always from the Nation of Islam. And I didn't think nothing about it. It's just they've always kind of accepted me, and I never knew why, you know. It's always been there, and I just never thought about it. But I guess what it was is I was learning the religion of Islam at that time through my friends, through guys I was growing up with that were Muslims, that were in the Nation of Islam. And the thing is that I only could spend time with them on the weekends because they were going to private schools. They would go to Sister Clara Muhammad School. They would go to the mosque. They would go wherever they went. I wasn't allowed to go because, you know, it was a private whatever it was. I didn't understand it. But I knew on the weekends I got to play with my Muslim friends and like kids like we do. So as I got about 18 or 19, I think 19 years old, there was this group called Public Enemy start coming out from the East Coast in the hip hop. And the first time I heard Public Enemy, he start talking about Malcolm X. He start talking about black nationalism. And we had a big explosion of black nationalism through the hip hop music back in the mid 80s to the late 80s with groups like I said, Public Enemy, and then we had a group called Gangstar, Brand Nubians, X-Clan, the Jungle Brothers, Queen Latifah, Grand Poobah, Professor Griff, you name it. We had this black nationalistic hip-hop coming out that really exposed a lot of us African-Americans, especially on the West Coast, because we were pretty somewhat kind of ignorant on the West Coast. We wasn't totally, in that time, totally, like when we first heard Public Enemy in the West Coast, we couldn't stand Public Enemy because we didn't understand it, some of us brothers in the Bay Area where I'm from, Hayward and Oakland. But when we start listening to more about that and start listening to Chuck D's lyrics, we start saying, hey, what's this education here? What's this about? What's going on here? So when I start listening to that music, I started to flashback to all 9 years old and to all the households and the friends that I grew up with that actually were in the Nation of Islam, and I had no clue that I was being influenced unknowingly by Islam or the Nation of Islam point of view. I always felt more comfortable around the Nation of Islam brothers and sisters that I really felt comfortable around sometimes my immediate family. And I never understood the reason that was. But like I said, I got about 19 and the things start turning in my head. And I started to think about that, and I start to question my identity. And at that time, I was still going by my birth name of Cedric Newby, my name that was given to me. But it never occurred to me that I would change my last name. It just seemed to be that I was becoming more interested in what black nationalism is. And it was a whole new education that I was not taught in the school system. The only thing I remember being taught in the public school system to a certain extent was about slavery and Martin Luther King. And to tell you the truth, I was really ignorant on Martin Luther King because at 14, I remember we had to write an essay on Martin Luther King. And they asked, and when I wrote my essay, I said Martin Luther King was the first black president of the United States, and it took the teacher a elderly Caucasian woman to correct me, and she looked at me and she said, "Martin Luther King wasn't the president of the United States." And when she said that, the way she said it was it surprised me. It surprised me how much I was 14 years old, and then let me know the essence of Martin Luther King at all, King Jr. So that was a wake-up call for me at 14. But there was another name that kept popping up, and I was about 19, and the name was called Malcolm X. And at that time, Spike Lee was coming out with Do the Right Thing, and there was a lot of black consciousness coming out in the entertainment business at that time in the late 80s with the music, and it was Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing, and ultimately he put out Malcolm X that was played by Denzel Washington, who should have got an Oscar for that. Everybody knows that, but that's another story. Ironic, he got an Oscar for Training Day, portraying a stereotypical black thug as a policeman. He got an Oscar for that, but he didn't get an Oscar for playing a American hero and an icon to everybody, Brother Malcolm X. Now that was astonishing there. But anyways, so I started feeling like that I was vacation on who I was. They were ripping me off. They weren't teaching me what I needed to know as my culture, my identity. And so I started getting into black historical studies. So I started going on my own to libraries and reading everything about Huey Newton and Elgin Cleaver and Marcus Garvey and Frederick Douglass. And I started getting really heavy into black literature and black studies and black history and Africa. And so I got really educated on black nationalism and on a whole universal level. And I loved it. I loved black authors. I started to love who I was. Started to find out that there was more to me than just being born as a African, as a black, you know, American to be honest with you, my last name was Newby, but that name was, to my knowledge, was given to us from our slave masters. And that bothered me. You know, that really bothered me that I was wearing a name of people who used to own us as slaves. And that really did bug me. It means I understand it doesn't bother some people because I guess it's not supposed to. But with me, it really, really bugged me that I had a last name of a slave owner. And I just could not tolerate that anymore. So through my early 20s, I started getting more nationalistic. But I wasn't nationalistic to the point where I was had a problem with other races or religions at all, because I was raised in the Bay Area, which is like the multicultural place in the United States. So I was raised with blacks, whites, my Hispanic brothers and sisters, my Asian brothers and sisters, Filipinos, Samoans, and I was raised predominantly around a mixed cultures and mixed people. So I was raised around basically political liberal point of views in the Bay Area when it comes to homosexuality and the gay community. So I was raised very liberal and socially. And so my point of view of everybody was they were humans, and it still is. That has never changed. But my interest on who I was changed, and I had become who I thought God, or I know what God wanted me to be as an African-American man. I had to create my own identity. I had to create my own self. It's almost like I had to create a whole new being so I could see a future for myself in our greatest country ever, the United States of America. So it was a metamorphosis, but it was one that was going on since I was 9 years old, and at this point I was like 21, and then I was like, when I hit 21, I started getting really serious about getting into the Nation of Islam, And I remind you, since 9 years old, I've always had Nation of Islam people around me, or I was in their house. So I always grew up with Nation of Islam people. And to this day, I still have Nation of Islam connections for life. They're just people I grew up with that's just going to be in my life forever. A lot of people are not comfortable with that, but I can't help perception of me are. If I'm walking down the street, I'm going on 50 years old now, and I'm going into the mall, and you happen to see me, and I have two or three brothers around me with bow ties, well, you know, they're my homies, or they're my security force. They're something, but that'll never leave me. That's who I am. So the Nation of Islam, Fruit of Islam brothers will always be in my life. That's just the way it is. But the thing is, the fact is, as I was going through my metamorphosis, I was growing in religion per se, because I've already experienced being a Jehovah's Witness. I experienced different organized religions. I experienced a lot of churches. And the thing that got me when I went to church when I was a kid, I kind of felt that something wasn't right in the atmosphere. I liked the way the preacher preached. I liked the word. I loved the word. I loved the singing. I loved gospel music. But it was the fact that I knew that when I was 10 or 11 years old and I'm in church, that the females' church, they're basically, I'd be sitting next to these sisters, and a lot of these sisters would have these short dresses, or they would have their cleavage showing. And it was so prevalent in certain African-American churches that instead of listening to the word, I'm sitting there looking at flesh, and I'm 11 years old. So that didn't sit well with me. But so when I started going to the mosque in my early 20s, I started to notice how the brothers sat on one side, the sisters sat on the other, and they were completely covered to a certain extent. You would not see any flesh in the mosque. That was totally out. And I respected that. And I still respect that to this day. So I only got 2 minutes left in this, and I don't know if this will be a part two or not. I guess it won't be. Let me just fast forward this real quick, I guess. I'm going to try to in the last 2 minutes of this radio address. I'm now going to be 50 years old in 2 years, and my experience as far as being a African-American and a with the Islamic last name after 9/11 was horrible. After 9/11, I was no longer just an African-American man. I was now considered suspect. And not to get into a lot of things I went through, I did get physically assaulted in a southern state in January of 2002. I still live with 5 fractures to this day. I have been discriminated against getting a job and having an Islamic last name or African last name. You could damn near forget it. So my life, as far as after 9/11, has been terribly, 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 terrible hard. But I do say this, now that it's years later, I say that I am blessed because, first of all, number one, I'm a human first. Number two, I am an African-American citizen. And number three, I love God. So on that note, I just like to say God bless to everybody. Have a blessed weekend. And I wish I could do a part two on this because I got so much more to tell you. But I guess it's just not the will of God for me to do at this time. So have a blessed weekend. Kiss your family. Kiss your wife. Kiss your husband. Take no one for granted. And please, if you like to continue to bless God Brothers Entertainment, God Brothers Radio, please go to Zazzle, Zazzle.com/ Cedric Shabazz, CEDRICSHABAZZ. And please go there and go ahead and purchase a T-shirt, a hat, and you will support us. Thank you so much, and God bless.